Blog Talk Radio.
My weird can talk in a special way. There are some things they help me say. Hello, come here, is it okay? Nice to meet you, how are you today?
Welcome to WeHands Radio. Learn to connect with your baby, toddler, and preschool child. I'm your host, Sarah Bingham. Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the WeHands Radio Show. I am Sarah Bingham, the founder of WeHands and the author of the Baby Signing Book. Thank you for tuning in. WeHands is all about connecting with your baby, and I love that we're able to use this We Show to connect with more and more parents and more parenting experts who are interested in sign language, signing with your baby and your toddler, as well as child development, parenting, and all of that, all of what that encompasses. This morning, I was listening to a local morning show, and the hosts were talking about a blogger that had blogged on the topic, I wish I never had kids. And the hosts, they were rightly on the verge of being very angry and saying that, yes, parenting is hard, and oh my goodness, we know that it's very hard. But this is something that you should never, ever, ever say in front of your children, and I agree. At the same time, I'm right in the middle of reading the book, The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin. So I'm definitely thinking that this blogger is definitely not a happy parent at the moment, and there are possibly other things going on in her life. But it's also very timely because we planned this well in advance, but today we're going to be talking about happiness and parenting with my guest, Sharon Silver. Sharon has been with us before. She's also a mom, a parent educator, a coach, an author, a speaker, a blogger, and she's just a wonderfully positive person. She's the founder of Proactive Parenting, and today we're going to be talking about happiness in parenting. Sharon, are you there?
I am.
How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me, and what a wonderful topic.
It is a very wonderful topic, and I think it's so timely given some of the discussions that are going on in our world today. I think when we have kids, when we're expecting and people are asking you, are you having a boy or a girl? And a lot of us say, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl, I just want them to be healthy. And now I know that now that I have kids and they are healthy, I'm knocking on wood here. Now I want them to be happy. There's so much going on and we're so busy. So we're talking about wanting them to be happy. But I think I love how you're flipping this and that we need to be happy as well.
Yes, I think that that's something that, it's such a huge topic. I mean, it's kind of difficult to think of where to start, but I think that we all have to honor that. How do you think kids learn to be happy? We are their biggest teacher. We're their biggest role model. And it's not always possible to be happy in parenting, and I think we have to honor that. And I am divided in how and why I say that. So this is a really big topic for me.
You're divided. Okay, I've got so many questions coming in my head, but I'll go back to the very beginning. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what you were like as a child. Were you a happy child? Good question.
Well, that is a very good question, and it is twofold. I am told that I was an exceedingly happy person being raised by a very unhappy mother. So my mother would come in, and she would find me in the crib just singing and happy, and I was her little ray of sunshine. Now, that had a positive effect on my mom. I think my mom had really bad postpartum depression, and nobody knew it. And it led into a great deal of depression. So what ended up happening in my childhood was I have never not been happy. And I preface this by saying, you know, I'm not a completely happy person, don't get me wrong. But do I see the glasses half full? 99.9% of the time, yes, I do. What that did between me and my mother is it really set us at odds. Because she was never, ever able to understand and still to this day cannot understand who I am. because she sees the world in a much more cranky, a fatalistic way. We are close. We have worked on our relationship, and we did that very intentionally. But for the most part, I spent a childhood feeling pretty much like an alien in my own family.
Wow. And that, do you think that's telling, doing what you do today? Is that what's brought you to the work that you do
so.
Today?
I think so. I think that I was watching, I can't remember the woman's name, but she did a podcast, Suzanne Evans. She was doing a podcast yesterday, and she said the one thing that you're most afraid to tell the public is the one thing you need to tell the public about. And, you know, I'm a really private person, and I thought, well, what would that be? I'm not really afraid of anything, but for the most part, it is this fact that, you know, I'm a very happy person. I was born that way, and I've been at great odds with my family and with my mother because none of them are very happy people. Maybe on the outside, I can't say, I think my sister's a pretty happy person, but I think both my parents were not. So it did motivate me to try and figure out, you know, how does this happen in a family? And what happens if the child isn't as resilient as I was blessed to be? Can the child be turned from their unique internal happiness and peacefulness and great outlook to someone who is fearful and anxious and unhappy? And I think that the answer is yes.
And degrees in between. I know. And again, because I'm on the floor with so many babies and toddlers, aside from being hungry or wet and uncomfortable, possibly in pain, typically kids and babies are so incredibly happy, and it's so easy to make them giggle and laugh. And I know looking back at my daughter, she was one of the happiest babies in the world. She would not stop smiling. She could not stop smiling, even when we were in swim class and it was about time to dunk the baby in the water. She couldn't stop smiling, and she always got a mouthful of water, and she never learned to turn off the smile just for that little bit. And I get worried about her. Where do we lose? At what is it just chipped away slowly for some people? And because we're, oh, to be as happy as a 13-month-old running around, how do we get from there to here?
Well, now here's where it gets quote unquote heavy. This is where, you know, this is where your personal journey comes in. So let's say for a moment, now I have been a spiritual person all my life from the time I was 14 years old until now, which I'm almost 60. And I don't look a day over 40. My path has been to try and figure this out. So what I have learned from great people, great teachers, and great teachings is that every person is put in a situation with a family that can produce what you need so that you, your spirit, can grow. So if you are innately a happy person, then you will always know that inside. And it will be as if a blanket has been put on you. And at some point in your life, it is your job to take the blanket off and to find yourself, regardless of what's happened. Now, I'm not speaking about horrendous things. I'm not speaking about violence and abuse. That's a whole separate category. We're just talking about, you know, everyday stuff. So I can really relate this to me and say, well, I started my spiritual path when I was 14 years old. There were two major deaths in my family. One was my cousin and one was my aunt. And that cracked the veneer of this is the way the family is. In other words, we lived the perfect family. Yeah, when you close the doors, my parents weren't happy and they eventually did get divorced. But we lived on the outside, a pretty normal, happy, suburban life. When the deaths came in our family, I watched the blanket be pulled from everyone in the family as they began to grieve. And that gave me the idea that there was other things, other dimensions, other facets to who these people were. And I started questing for who am I? And in that quest, I began to find my innate nature. And then it was my business to try and preserve that and then you come to parenting and you find that you are repeating a cycle of what happened to you as a child. And then once again, you have to pull the blanket off and say, who am I and what do I want? So this is a beautiful, very complex process, finding happiness, in my humble opinion. Very doable.
Well, and I think, I'm certainly hope it's doable. because so much of parenting is putting the focus on your children. How, and today, and I want to make sure that I'm turning that around in what we're talking about. We're talking about happiness in parenting. What does being a happy parent mean to you?
I think that, you know, that moment, like you said, where you were talking about your 13-month-old and you were radiating back and forth that unspoken love, that unspoken connection where you delight and just are fired on all cylinders by the smile from your child. I think that that is happiness in parenting, where you are riding on that invisible thing that goes between parent and child that just makes you happier than you've ever been. And really what's at the core of that is love. That's unconditional love. And that will curl your toes.
I like that. What about, and thinking back to this blogger who is saying, I wish I never had kids, and blogging about it and putting that message out there. Are parents today unhappy?
I think parents today are overwhelmed and they feel vulnerable because in order to touch over that unconditional love, you have to get to a vulnerable state. And when you're in a vulnerable state, it's really easy to fear that this love could be tainted in some way. Something could happen. And immediately when you fear that something could happen, you drop from that unconditional love and you become vulnerable. And that doesn't make you very happy. So then we work really, really hard to make sure that our children are happy, that they're safe, that they're provided for, that they have more than we had, that... you know, and so then we get into the control nature. And each step that we do, we walk further and further away from unconditional love. So it's
all that.
Yeah, it's quite, you know, I think we're all doing the very best that we can, and life has become very complex. The more access we have to world events, the more frightened we become. And as a result of that, we try really hard to protect our children. And each step that we try and take, we have fear, we have weakness, we have vulnerability, we have control. And not all of that is successful. So it's almost like hitting a wall, but we keep plugging away at it. And I think that we need to turn around and look at that smile, that unconditional love, fill us up, and all of a sudden you relax again.
Well, I think it's in this information age, it's so easy to, I mean, you get everything, and the news is typically from bad to horrific. And at the same time, we are supposedly connected on social media, and we're seeing everything from our friends posting their vacation trips to their new this and their new that. So we're comparing ourselves to others. We're getting more information. And then we're also, the guilt comes in as well. Am I doing enough for my kids? And it is overwhelming, just as you said.
Yeah, it is. But what I have learned over my journey is that we're connected to each other as well in ways that we cannot see. So when we watch the earthquake in Nepal, we feel their pain. We feel that fear. We feel it because we look at our lives and we wonder, oh my God, what if it happened to me? What would I do? Mm-hmm. And now we're consumed with fear, and we need to reconcile that somehow. Because I believe people have said to me over and over again, our children are so different than I was as a child. And I truly believe that this generation of children have a message to bring us. And a lot of them are very happy, and a lot of them are really pushing their parents to say, what's important here? Core of family, the core of love. And so we have books like
that's
what you're reading.
Wonderful.
We have, yeah, and we, you know, that's why all of this is coming forward, is our children are sort of like pushing us and saying, hey, go back to your heart. Let's start there. Live in the now. In this moment, we're fine. We're okay.
Last night we had a Twitter chat, I'll say that correctly, and we were talking about managing family schedules. And one of the tips that came up was schedule downtime, schedule quiet time. We're all so busy, and it's okay just to go into your little cocoon with the ones you love and just be.
Well, if you look back on our society and you look back at, you know, we talk a lot about a fight or flight. We talk about, you know, the reptilian brain. We talk about the men are different than the women. The women were the hunter-gatherers. The men were the hunter-gatherers. The women were the nurturers. If you look back at the purity of what it takes to survive, you see that women sat, and it wasn't as if we had downtime, but we knew what our task was. We had our children sitting right at our feet. We were conversing. We were managing the task, and we were moving on. In today's society, we are doing so many things at once that I'm not quite sure what comes next. The pace at which life is happening to all of us, it causes us to leave our center, to become overwhelmed, and to feel that life is more than we can handle. And then our sweet little ones do what they're supposed to do, which is question life, explore life, learn from every situation, and we lose it all over them because we have said, life is too busy for me to have time to sit down and say, that's not okay. We need to talk about this. We're so overwhelmed. We're living at such a fast pace that we tend to go, stop it.
Wow. So what do we do? Well,
this is a big one.
Okay. So what are some tips that we can share with parents based on the whole idea of being happy as a parent?
Well, I think you need to find out, what does happiness mean to you? And I mean, really sit down and write yourself several columns and just let yourself speak to yourself. What does happiness mean to you? And take a look and see how much of it is external, what others should bring to you to provide you with your happiness. And then look at the category of, what can I do for myself to provide my own happiness? That needs to be balanced. Because here again, if you're relying on others to bring you your happiness, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. And they're not mind readers. And nobody can really bring you truly need. Only you can bring you what you truly need. So I would say that that's step number one. Is your list for happiness external or internal? I posted something on my Facebook post yesterday, and I'm looking it up right now because I don't want to mess it up. I want to get it right here. There was a lot of conversation about it. And it said, happiness is an inside job. Don't assign anyone else that much power over your life. And I think that that is extremely important, because if you assign someone else that much power over your life, they can disappoint you.
Yeah.
So that's where you want to start, because this is, it's an inside job, it's an adult job. Once you find that for yourself, then you will absolutely delight in who your child is, and you have more reserves left to deal with the other part of parenting. Now, I'm not foolish enough to believe that you're never going to be upset or angry or frustrated by your child. I'm a parent educator. I spend a great deal of my time talking about how parents can stop reacting and start responding. Okay, so that's the focus of my business. And it's shifting so that I can bring more happiness and things of that nature into it. But so I'm not, you know, that's the other part that I wanted to talk about. Is there's a lot of people out there that believe if you use positive statements and affirmations that your world will change. And I would agree that for a period of time, your world will change. But if you can't deal with what's truly going on inside of you, your world will revert to what it was.
Because you're not really dealing with it. That's exactly it.
That's correct.
My goodness.
That's a very big old do, isn't it?
It's a very big old do. And I'm going to have to, you know what, and I'm going to sit after this and just sit with a cup of tea and just go through this all. I love the idea, and I'm going to bring it from your Facebook to the WeHands Facebook, the idea that happiness is an inside job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not assigning it to someone else. We're responsible for it. I love that.
Well, I mean, that really, that I think is a, I think it's a huge opportunity for men and women to recognize what the true function of marriage is as Khalil Gibran says, you stand next to the person. You do not enmesh yourself with the person. I am butchering his quote. I don't have it in front of me, and I apologize for that. But for the most part, it is that you stand beside each other. And you don't make the other person responsible for your happiness. And we as a society, I think, are in the process of unwinding a lot of this. And as a result, we'll find more happiness. And as a result, we'll find the ability to be calmer in our parenting. And as a result, we'll find the ability to extend more positive statements toward our child while still holding them responsible for the choices that they make. Because I am an extreme firm believer that you have to be the authority in your child's life and you have to be firm. That's your job. But you don't have to be mean. You don't have to be cruel. You don't have to be punitive.
I need to just have everyone read your book and have everybody listen to the messages that you're sending out. They're so incredibly important.
Yeah, I think so. Not because I'm saying it, not for sure. I mean, this is universal truth. And this is, you know, this is really what my new message is. I'm redoing everything at Proactive Parenting, and I'm finally at a place in my life where I am interested in blending all of this together and being really truthful about this. Excuse me.
What a wonderful and beautiful evolution.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, I will say that this is not something that just happens with little ones. Without going into great detail, because my children are adults, literally, and I mean literally, 6 minutes before this call, we were winding up a family situation where I was really forced, my husband was really forced, my younger son was really forced to let go and let our older son do something that's making us all a little nervous. So, you know, it's a blessing for my older son. It's something he's always wanted to do. We're so proud of him. But it makes us all a little nervous. And so I can ask the question, was I happy about this? For myself, no. The question is, why? Is my son happy about this? He's thrilled. Am I happy for him? Absolutely. So then happiness is my inside job. I had to look at my own level of control. I had to look at my own fears, my own anxieties, and I had to let them go. I had to extend total support and say, of course you can do this. Of course you're wise enough to do this. We applaud you. And keep all of my fears and anxiety away from him.
Good for you.
It's 6 minutes ago. It was not easy.
You are living it, and you're helping so many parents. How long have you been doing what you've been doing with proactive parenting?
Oh, almost 30 years, a little over 30 years now.
And what keeps you, you're going through an evolution. I may be answering my own question. What keeps you interested in doing what you do?
Well, that's really quite interesting because as of late, I was quite overwhelmed and frustrated. And as I'm asking everyone to, you know, look at the inside job for themselves, it's really what I have had to do for myself. What's keeping me interested is change, is honoring my own truth and not following anybody else. It is so prevalent in our society to fall in line with everybody else and not be an original. And my life is pushing me to be an original. And I had to go through the whole process myself and try and figure this out.
That's hard, though, to not fall in line, to speak your own truth, to let what's inside come out and speak the words that you need to speak so that you're reflecting who you are.
Yeah. It is. It's difficult, but I have to say, if I find great peace in speaking my truth with regard to parenting and children, I find great overwhelm, frustration, fear, anxiety, and vulnerability when I don't.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not being authentic.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm going to have to plaster that on my wall because that's really true. It's really true. I would invite everyone to look at life from that perspective. Are you happy, or are you living a life you think you should live?
I'm just looking at a quote from Dr. Shefali. She's a clinical psychologist, and she asks these questions. Did I live with my authentic voice today? Did I speak up today? Did I do what my heart told me to do rather than staying in my head?
Correct.
Wow.
And that's accurate. She and I are very aligned, and we're trying very hard to send this message out to parents in our own way. You have to be authentic. You're going to find a great deal of peace, a great deal of space, a great deal of calm in your authenticity. What we have found is a great deal of fear, a great deal of anxiety, a great deal of overwhelm and vulnerability in not being authentic, our own authentic selves.
I think it's a continual process and a continual thing that we need to check in. I mean, there's so much going on in terms of being a woman, women's voices today, parenting, the guilt that comes along with it. And it's a huge job. But I think we need to take a step back and focus, not focus on everything. Focus on the job that you need to do for yourself. I know I worry about my kids constantly, but they're happy. They're very happy. And looking at back and checking in and making myself happy and not frustrated and making sure that I'm taking care of myself allows me to take care of them.
Absolutely. And I will give you a tip that I believe is the key to all of this, because people say, well, that's easy. And, you know, how in the world are you going to do that? One heartbeat at a time. If you stand in the now, truly in the now, with you, your partner, your children, your life, and you say, I am doing the best authentic thing that I can do in the now, and my heart beats again, and I move to the next moment. And people say it, and it's very difficult, but the more you practice it, the easier it becomes. Move to the next moment. And so what am I doing here? Let the future take care of itself. Because sometimes in the now, you have to make a decision about the future. Well, in the now, when you have to make a decision about the future, you're prepared to make that decision. But if you concern yourself in the now with something you have not enough information about, you are concerned, you're freaked out, you're fearful, you're not going to make the right decision. You have to wait for all the pieces to show up. The moment all the pieces show up, you know exactly what you need to do.
My goodness. Sharon, how can people get in touch with you and just continue this conversation? I think your Facebook page is probably so incredibly interesting. What's your website and your Twitter and your Facebook? How can we share what you do with the world?
My website is proactiveparenting.net. And like I said, I think that we have a free ebook called Why is Yelling My Go-To Tool? And I would highly encourage everybody to get on our mailing list because things are about to change and they're going to want to know about it. My Twitter is Sharon_Silver. And my Facebook page is Proactive Parenting Tips.
Proactive Parenting Tips. And I'm going to go visit it as soon as we're done and share.
Yeah, let me know what you thought of what I said today. Today was today was a big deal. Today was kind of, you know, Sarah gave me the opportunity to speak about what my future will be holding and what I'll be handing out to parents, and I'm very curious as to whether this was beneficial to parents or not.
Oh my goodness, it really was, and I can't wait for my kids to come home in a little bit from school because I just want to sit and be with them and not get into the after-school rush.
Yes. You know, I have a tip for that as well, which I think is, I read it a while ago and I loved this. You know, every parent at the end of the day has a tendency to interview for pain that the child experienced during the day so they can help them. Do not interview your children at the end of the day for pain. Interview them for joy. Interview them for the things that delighted them, that they were successful for. And watch their world turn around and watch the level of what they share with you go up by 10.
Yes. I can see my son and my daughter, definitely my son, brightening up.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
wonderful. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, Sharon.
My pleasure. Anytime you'd like. Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you so much. She is just one wise, wise woman. Today, I had the pleasure of talking with Sharon Silver from Proactive Parenting. Sharon is also the author of Stop Reacting and Start Responding. I spoke with Sharon in her home, from her home in San Francisco, California. We are out of time for this week, but I want to thank you for joining us. Since 2001, WeHands has been a leading children's sign language and language development program. And with this little podcast, I get to learn and share so much more with you. In 2014, just last year, WeHands became a part of Morneau Chapelle's Children's Support Solutions. And that's an organization that provides health-centered and educational services to children with differences to help them reach their potential. You can find more about Children's Support Solutions on the website childrensupportsolutions.mornochapelle.com. You can connect with me on Twitter. I am at WeHands. Our website is WeHands.com if you'd like to find baby sign language classes in your area. And you can email me with any questions you have. Just email info@WeHands.com. Until next time, I'm Sarah Bingham, WeHands founder and author of the Baby Signing Book. And now I'm going to go visit the Proactive Tips Facebook page. Bye, everybody.